Our scripture passage this morning is taken from Mark's Gospel, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said. They allowed them to take it. Then they brought the coat to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. When those who went ahead and those who were following were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven!' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What are you doing? The people asked that question. I guess they thought the disciples were stealing the donkey and its colt. What are you doing? Untying the colt. But in actuality, that question that the scriptures have preserved for us, that question becomes sort of our question for Lent. Our question during this time of preparation, during this time of self-examination. What are you doing? What are you doing in the midst of your life? In the midst of your discipleship, in the midst of representing Christ into the world, in the midst of helping others, in the struggle of living, the struggle of life, the griefs, the sorrows, etc. All of those things. I believe that that question that was posed just to that situation, to that circumstance, also applies to us as we journey toward the cross this week. What are you doing? What are you doing with your life for God? What are you doing with your life as a Christian? What are you doing in the name of God for others? What are you doing with your life? That question is always there before us. We know and we have the certain hope of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior, the crucifixion, the resurrection. All of that means we are at one with God, that when we believe in Christ, when we have faith in Christ, that therefore we will be with God in everlasting life, with God throughout all time as we continue our lives with God. But even as we understand that, God also looks at us and says, Now that you understand redemption, now that you understand salvation, what are you doing? Are you just sitting back and saying, "Good, I'm saved, got it, everything's great"? What are we doing with our lives? I believe that Palm Sunday is a special Sunday of recognizing Christ as King of our lives, Christ as Savior of everything that we are and everything that we do, and that as the people there in Jerusalem put out cloaks, put out palm branches for others, for Jesus to see, they were proclaiming Christ as King. They were proclaiming Christ as Savior, the one who would come in and redeem them, the one who would change things for them so that they would know that God had sent this person to make the world, their world especially, a better place. They were proclaiming him as an earthly king. Today, we have the opportunity. Today, we have the mandate before us to proclaim Christ as Savior of our lives, Savior of all that we are, with every part of our being, with everything that is within our lives and all that we do, that Christ is the priority in our lives, in our living, that each and every day we relish the time to understand God better. We relish the time to grow in Christ, that we relish the time to be in prayer with God and to pray and to find the peace and the joy and the satisfaction that brings, but then also to hear what God has to say to us, that as we face questions and things that perplex us, we know all we have to do is go to God in prayer. God provides us direction, guidance. God helps us see beyond all the confusing things of life exactly what we are supposed to do, exactly how we're supposed to live and move and have our being within God. That when our lives become so busy and muddled, that question still remains, what are you doing? What are you doing in the midst of your life? Is your life centered on God first and then everything else falls into place? Or are we trying to fit all the pieces of the puzzle together and then say, here, Lord, here's all my puzzle. I've tried to put it together in pieces. I'm missing pieces and things aren't working out. And God says, what are you doing? I'll help you with every piece of the puzzle. I'm there for you. Today, as we place this palm frond on the altar, we pray indeed that Christ might be Savior of our lives. Most gracious God, we come before you with our lives. We come before you with all that we are. We know indeed that you are the God who proclaims that you will be Savior over all of those things. Bless our lives as we consecrate them totally to you. Amen. Then also, we come before God this day and every day, asking God to bless our efforts. Bless our efforts in who we are and what we do, our trials, our tribulation, even our failures. We know that we make efforts to do the right things and efforts to love people and efforts to demonstrate that and efforts to change the world for Christ. We realize that many times our efforts fall short. Sometimes our efforts don't work. They yield nothing. Sometimes, even beyond our own best efforts, our own best intentions, our efforts turn negative and cause harm. We wonder, how did I get here? What did I do? How can I change my efforts? Again, time to pray, time to reflect, time to guide, time to understand better who we are. But also a time to say, Lord, be Savior of my efforts as well. Be Savior of all of my efforts as I come before you. Everything that I try to do and try to accomplish, be Savior over all of those things. Be King of my efforts as well, because I desire not only to please you, not only to give glory to you, not only to live my life for you, but also a desire that my efforts might truly make a difference. As we place our palms here on the altar, let us pray that our efforts would be demonstrated through Christ and that our efforts might in every way have Christ as Savior. Most gracious God, bless our efforts. Allow us to never have efforts that put the self first, but have efforts that are there to glorify you and to be of benefit to others. Be Savior of our efforts as well. Amen. Then, of course, as we live out our lives, we understand the necessity of having Christ to be Savior of our fears, because it seems like the human condition is to always be fearful. Since change is always a part of how we live, and change is always ordained by God to be the way in which we go throughout our days, we have developed fear of change as well. Change can be beneficial, change can be hard. We have a fear of things not remaining the same, fear of the unknown, fear of where our lives might take us, fear of illness, fear of death, fear of loneliness, fear of being inadequate to meet the challenges of life. We have fears situated even within our walk with Christ, our relationship with God. Am I good enough? Do I do enough? Do I understand enough? Am I Christian enough? Instead of accepting the grace of God and understanding salvation is at hand, salvation is for us. And throughout the Bible, you've heard me say, from the Old Testament through the New Testament, God says repeatedly, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. God repeats that for us over and over and over again because He knows us. He knows that we have a tendency toward fear, toward even terror as well. And yet we have the great shepherd. We have the one who shepherds us. Instead of being motivated by our fears, God calls upon us to be motivated by our sense of security in God and God's love for us, and God's great shepherding care for us. To be motivated not by fears, but by love for others. To step out, to know that change is possible and that God calls upon our lives to change, and that through change we also can grow into the child of God that God calls each and every one of us to be. And so as we come before the altar, as we proclaim Christ as King, as we place our palms on the altar, let us also ask that Christ be Savior over our fears. Most gracious God, at times life confronts us in such a way that we desire to run from it, to hide because of our fears. But you have called upon us to be bold as Christians. And so we come before you this day asking that you would be Savior over all of our fears, that when we are afraid, we will see you, our risen and conquering Savior, King of all. Amen. And then indeed, as we live out our lives, we know that when people talk about the trail of sorrows, that we understand that sorrows, sins, being sorry over our sins, grief, regret, worrying over the mistakes that we have made, all of those things that drag us down, all those things that when we think back on life help us not to be happy and whole, but to begin to doubt ourselves, to doubt our wisdom, to doubt our abilities. And yet, God says, you are a unique person, and I've created you for a unique work, and I've gifted you so that you can accomplish everything that God wants you to accomplish, and even more than we can imagine. And so as we come together and we look at our sins, especially during Lent, the season of repentance, the season of self-examination, we begin to go, but my life is so filled with sins. My life is so filled with things that are harmful to others. My life is so filled with things that are separate me from God. And yet we know that just as Christ rode into Jerusalem to say indeed that he would be king over not just Jerusalem, but all things, creator of all things and king of all things and redeemer of all things and savior of all things, that Christ also rides into our lives and says, I'm here. I'm here for you. I know that you feel broken. I know that you feel that your sins overwhelm everything else that's in your life. But Christ says, no, I'm Savior over all of those things. I've redeemed those things. And I'm here to tell you and to assure you, you are whole. You are not just forgiven. You are reclaimed. You are perfected through Christ. As we come to Christ this day to proclaim Christ as King, let us have Him to be Savior over our sins. Most gracious God, we know that you die a death on the cross for our sins. We know also of the empty tomb. On this day, as we proclaim you King, we proclaim you as Savior over our sins. Thank you, most gracious God, that when we fail you, when we fail others, when we turn to our own selfish ways, when we put aside our relationship with God and go toward the relationship of self, that we still know and understand your salvation is at hand, that you are Savior over all. We dedicate ourselves this day to the understanding that you are Savior over our sins. Amen. We also pray indeed that Christ would be Savior over our worship. We gather as Christians to worship together. We gather as Christians to hear God's word, to sing praises to God, to pray to God, to hear God's word expanded upon so that all may understand and so that clarity might be a part of our lives. We gather together to motivate one another to continue in the work, calling of being Christians in the world. We gather together in worship to understand God's presence. God's Spirit is here with us, feeding us. God's Spirit communing with us. As Christ rode in Jerusalem to be proclaimed as earthly King, he wanted them also to understand that they were called upon to continue and to enhance their worship of God, their understanding of God, their understanding of exactly who God is and will always be for them. A big part of their worship had always been the separation of God from God's people, the temple with the courtyards and barriers that were placed so that people could not enter, certain people could not enter certain courtyards, and then finally into the temple itself, and there even the Holy of Holies curtained off. You cannot approach. You cannot be there. Only the high priest, the great high priest, could enter one time a year, and that with great fear and trepidation, to go to where the Ark of the Covenant was. And then when Christ was crucified, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. God said, now I'm here. Now I'm here with you. Now as you worship, you are in the presence of God. When two or three gather with God, the Spirit of God is here with us. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God is here with us. We pray indeed on this Palm Sunday that we would be reminded that Christ is Savior over our worship, Savior over all that would distract us from worship, Savior from all that would keep us away from worship, Savior from all that would make us feel that worship is not taking place. Because we're in the presence of God. No matter what happens, God is here. God is here speaking to us beyond anything we as humans can do. As we proclaim Christ as King, let us proclaim Him also as Savior of our worship. Most gracious God, we do adore you this day. We seek to worship you. We proclaim you as King. We understand the importance of understanding that you are also Savior of our worship, that you take our small efforts and make them into something that is eternal. Thank you, most gracious God, for allowing our worship to be a time when you speak to us in which your grace is demonstrated to us, and in which you change our lives. This we pray in Christ's most holy name. Amen. Then also, part of life, I hope it is a constant part of your life, is to have bliss in all that God does, to have happiness, to have joy, to understand the joy of love, to understand the joy of happiness, the joy of belonging, the joy of family, the joy of life, the joy of seeing the seasons change, the joy of watching the raindrops fall, the joy of working, the joy of being retired, the joy of understanding, the joy of learning. Life is filled with many joys, many celebrations of God, many celebrations of life, of the goodness and the beauty of life, and all that this world has to offer to us. We know at times the pursuit of joy can lead us away from God. So I would say that as we gather as Christians here and around the world, let us ask, let us seek that Christ be Savior over our bliss, Savior over our joy, that we might find true joy by serving our risen Savior. Most gracious God, as we place this palm upon your altar, we earnestly pray that you would be joy and bliss for us, and that you would be Savior of our happiness. Thank you, most gracious God, for giving us great happiness in our salvation, great happiness in worshiping you, great happiness in the peace that you give to us as our Redeemer, as our Savior. Thank you, most gracious God, that our happiness is blessed in such a way that the events of living, the events of this world, cannot rob us from the happiness of knowing you and the peace that comes from serving you. We would pray indeed that you would be Savior over our bliss. Amen. The last one is perhaps the hardest one of all, because it's the one that we as individuals have to decide for ourselves. The fact, indeed, that as individuals we know there is something in my life over which Christ needs to be Savior, over which Christ needs to be King, some part of my life in which I sort of say, okay, I've got this, I'm over this, I need this, I have to have this. It's more important than my relationship with you right at the moment. And yet, Christ doesn't come into our lives to say, I'll be Lord over 99% and I'll leave you 1%. You can have the 1% and you can do with it what you please. As Christians, we know that Christ seeks all of us. It's not because Christ is commanding and demanding and says all or nothing, but just because Christ knows that there, in that last 1%, there we will understand and realize and grasp the full joy of our salvation, the full joy of walking with Christ each and every day, the peace that that 1% can't give ever, only if Christ is Savior over that. On this day, on this Palm Sunday, as we remember people proclaiming Christ as King, and then shortly after demanding that Christ be crucified, we realize that even though we might proclaim Christ King, we also have that which we reserve for ourselves. Let us pray indeed that that part, over that part, Christ might be Savior indeed. Most gracious God, as we come before you with this last palm frond, we realize that it is perhaps the hardest one of all, because we all have those parts within our lives in which we feel we have to be in control. And yet we understand that you desire to be Savior of all, and we understand that that is a necessary part of being Christians, of being followers of you. And so as we adore you this day, and as we place this palm frond on your altar, we would pray indeed that you would be Savior over all of us, every part of us. This we pray in Christ's most holy name.